All right, boys and girls, we're going to get started here in a moment once the numbers stabilize. Good question. When did they get White Castle and Madison? They did not have White Castle and Madison. I had some on my Michigan vacation, and then this is terrible, but it turns out you can get frozen White Castle and just have it in your freezer whenever you want. And last night I had the urge, and I ended up having four sliders, and that was enough to interrupt an Loom meeting to have my ass explode. So that was fun. The frozen shit is absolutely inferior to the real thing, but any port in a storm. In Wisconsin, we do not have legal weed, and we also do not have a castle, so it's a little uncivilized around the edges, I'm afraid. Oh, I can handle the White Castle. You just end up, I mean, they're sliders, dude. They slide in, they slide out. That's how it works.
Beer's at least real fucking cheap here.
That is true. If you don't know what White Castle is, I guess you didn't watch Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. All right. Jokes about butt stuff notwithstanding, we're going to go ahead and get into this. I already made the obligatory pegging joke. Okay, so I want to start things off by zooming all the way out and talking about like war progress, our situation, etc. As an alliance leader, one of the most terrifying things that can happen is to be willing to fight to the last. And then the fear, of course, is that when people, you know, when you read spy reports and you see that the enemy is saying goons are out of morale and that we're evacuating and that everything is over and that goons have given up and the war will be over in a week, is, you know, you read all these reports of people saying this and you wonder yourself, okay, well, I'm here to fight to the fucking last. But, you know, if people don't turn up to fight, then, you know, what do we do, right? That sort of ends things if that happens. So this week has been very inspiring for me because we had the phase, the enemy is in Delve, obviously. They have YZ9, they with their little bubble hilarity. I don't think there's too much value in dwelling on the whole bubble incident because, you know, I want people to be riled up to fight and continue fighting, as opposed to, you know, spending too much time going or CCP. We did get rat fucked. It's not the first time. It's certainly not going to be the last time. But the war goes on. So what did I see? Well, 2 days ago, we had incredible turnout to contest the IHUB timers. We lost some IHUBs. We're going to continue to lose some IHUBs. But I want you guys to know how, why, and we're going to talk about the participation grind and the overall strategy. And I'm going to go into a fair amount of detail about this because I want you guys to individually understand this so you can apply it to like your daily activities in the war and what to expect. So from a all the way out perspective, the enemy is now sort of like top decking, right? Like we're making card game references on this, but essentially every time the enemy hits a sort of a checkpoint in the war, they get a surge in their participation, a brief surge, right? They finally get a Keefstar up. They get a surge in their participation. They get more numbers. They have more dudes to throw at us. When this war began, they're outnumbering us 3-1. And the truth is that when you're getting outnumbered 3-1, even if your strategy is to grind the bad guys down, we've been very successful at that. When you grind the 3-1 odds down to 2.5-1 odds, unless you're, you know, defending a Keepstar, 2.5-1 and 3-1, you're still probably fucked, right? Unless you have a force multiplier like a Keepstar to defend, there's not too much of a difference there. Now, what's really interesting about, the last several days of fighting, and you can follow along at home, right? Like you don't have to, again, Goonie spin, but, you know, on these battle reports, you divide their numbers by our numbers or do whatever math you feel like. And you can see, like last night, we had them down below 2-1. I was like 1.88-1 on the fights yesterday. And 2 days ago, we had similarly, they were below 2-1. Now, especially on these node contests, one of the reasons why it is difficult to defend iHubs is the nodes spawn in the constellation battle space in like the FuzzySov environment. And if they have more fleets than us, they can essentially park a fleet on this node, on that node, and the other thing. And if they have too many more fleets than us, in many cases, they can sort of win by default. We can do lots of fuckery and things like that, but they have a tremendous advantage simply because they have more fleets that they can park on these nodes. Well, now that we're getting down to like 1.8-1, my theory, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but this is what we're aiming for and this is what we're seeing, is that we have been steadily grinding them down to the point where now that they're at 1.9-1 odds, and we keep doing this for another couple weeks, then we're at a situation where maybe they're at 1.7, 1.6, 1.5, and at that point, a lot more options open up for us, militarily speaking. So what have I seen? You guys are still turning up in droves. There are 1,065 of you in a fireside chat right now, which is pretty fucking cool. And their participation is dropping, right? Their participation is not dropping catastrophically. It is not a big, huge drop off, but we are going to slowly and steadily continue to grind these fuckers down. At the start of the war, they had 3-1 odds. And now again, 1.8, 1.9-1. That is the kind of progress we want to see. So when I'm telling you guys that we are going to make them pay, we're focusing more on ISKWAR stuff now, like we're just trying to be fuckers and try to make them bleed every step of the way on every op that they take and every opportunity we have, while preparing for the long war, which is what this has been since the beginning. But it's very clear that we are grinding them down. We're bleeding them out. We're going to keep doing that. And when we get to a point of more rough military parity, I don't think we're ever going to end up in 1-1 odds, but we have been at war against these people for so many months now that I'm pretty confident that when we get like the 1.5-1 odds, their progress is going to be in deep shit. And they know it, and they don't have any more cards to play, really. Like, if we feed Titans to them, if we fuck something up, or if there's some sort of like big dramatic whelp, then they would have another surge of numbers. But they can't, like, you know, hey guys, we dropped another Q-Star in NPC Delph. That's not going to get them a number spike. Hey guys, we're really, really, really invading Delve this time. That's not going to get them a number spike. What I believe has gone on with the bad guys is that they still don't seem to really have much of a plan to actually get rid of us. I'll tell you what their plan is right now. Their plan is right now is to blow up our iHubs, to blow up our bridges, to hit our beacons, and then to make loud noises and hope that you guys go away and that we stop defending. And I think that they're also hoping for a Saarinen. What they don't realize is that the moment that we blew the Horn of Gundor, I am essentially like chained to the fucking mast here, right? Like, as the leader guy, having sounded the Horn of Gundor, retreat, escape, evacuation, these things are not options. You cannot ask thousands of goons to come back and fight and, you know, do this all day, every day, and then just give up and go away. So I think that their strategy, and we saw this from their messaging after the YZ9 thing this week, was essentially, the war is almost over, guys. Goons are about to break. Goons are going to evac. It's going to be all over because they put down a Keepstar in NPC Delph after we blew up the first four. And magic and rainbows is going to happen, and then somehow 1DQ1 is going to get sieged, I guess. I'm not entirely sure. So essentially, we had, I think, a pretty important turning point in the last 3 or 4 days, right? They played their card, which is, hey, we now have a Keepstar in PC Delve, and we're going to start attacking Delve, da-da-da-da. And instead of giving up, going away, or running for the hills, or whatever it is that they expected us to do, you motherfuckers turned up to fight. And as long as we turn up to fight every day to bleed them and be shitty to them, their numbers are going to continue going down, and we're getting to that point. Now, again, I want you to follow along at home. Don't just take my word for it. When you see these battle reports and time zones, you can compare things. Some of these days, they're going to have spikes, especially if I tell everybody about our participation grind strategy. Like, you know, some days they have surges, some days they don't, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, be reasonable and nuanced about it. But I'm pretty sure the math speaks for itself. Like, you guys can see if you look at it, like, their participation is steadily continuing to go down because now they are in a place where they have to grind 2,000 citadels. Right, it's like, okay, you're invading Delph. Welcome to Delph. Here you are. there are 1,000 screaming goons, we hate your guts, and you have to grind 2,000 citadels while we shit on you at every opportunity. Now, they don't want to do that. They want to do the IHUBs, they want to bang the pots and pans, and they want you guys to run for the hills. But that is clearly not happening, so things continue apace. I'm pretty happy about that. We are very much in the cool zone. And that is interesting because, again, like, I don't know if they have any other cards up their sleeves that they're going to play to, like, surprise us with and, like, get a number surge or something or other. But I think at this point, it's pretty much just fuck or walk, right? Like, they have to grind delve. We have to fight them as they try to grind delve. And, you know, good luck, God bless, right? So one of the things I want to talk about on that, we've already done this, right? You can see we're going to trade IHUBs. We traded IHUBs in Aquarius. We traded IHUBs in Period Basis. We're going to trade IHUBs in Delve. They are going to blow up our IHUBs. We're going to fight them every step of the way. And then when they do blow up our IHUBs, we're hacking them. We're reinforcing them back, and we're going to take them away from the bad guys. Almost all of the IHUBs that the bad guys put down initially, we have either already hacked. From the ones in Aquarius, I think the only one that they still have standing is 49. The other ones that they had that were threatening our cube stars, we already took back away from them. So yeah, one of the things that I want you guys to keep in mind when we're talking about trading IHUBs is the imbalance, and we ran into this in the casino war, if you went through that, the imbalance in attacker versus defender, right? It is always to the advantage of the attacker in Fozzie's tough scenarios because it is poorly designed, thank you, Fozzie. But that means that in this situation where they, the reason why it's imbalanced in favor of the attacker is that anyone can hack, but only the defending alliance can defend. So usually it is a disproportionate burden on the defending alliance in a Fozzie Swap contest, which is one of the reasons why Delve is like all Goonswarm Soft, because we learned from our lessons of the Casino War that having a whole bunch of different alliances with different IHUBs is functionally indefensible because of the way that the Soft system is designed. So Citadels are basically Sov in practice, but for the underlying Sov system, when they take something from us, it has been thus far, again, pointing to 49 is the only one that they're like still have that's has one of our keep stars in it. Like they had the W6V hub and we took it back, and I think we did GOP, but yeah, so there you go. The main thing is that when they take hubs, we hack them back. We take them back. We make them bleed at every step of the way. And we know that making them bleed is working because you can look at the numbers from these battle reports yourselves. You don't have to take it from me. You can just look at this and go like, okay, well now 1.88. Cool. That's better than 3-1. So, is Asher on vacation? He is communing on a mountain with the spirits of the whelp gods and scheming. No comment beyond that. This is actually one of those things that's kind of tough is he's almost back though, guys, don't worry. Like you can't really hide when somebody, like when I was in Michigan for a week, we are trying to basically be sneaky about when we are going places, but he is going to be back in a couple days, so it's all good. And has been in contact with us and told me about some of his schemes. So yeah, it's tough. Like, you know, when you have 18 people and you want people on your A team to cycle in and out so that they don't burn out and be like, hey, you need to go on vacation. You need to do this. Oh, you're going to go hiking. Oh, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. Okay, cool. You can't hide it from your dudes because the last thing you guys want to think is that like you've been abandoned in a time of crisis. But yeah, no, don't worry about it. Asher will be back and in action in a matter of days. The only reason I'm talking about this now is because it's on the flip side of, if you had asked me earlier in the week, I would have deflected the question. Yeah, I mean, he's okay. He's hiking. Like this, we have to disguise our pre-planned vacations. Like, I was going to be in Michigan. People go places. People do things. But we don't want to be like, hey, guys, like, I want to be gone for a week and don't do anything. The only reason why you guys found out about me being in Michigan was because y'all motherfuckers started blowing keep stars and I couldn't hide the fact that I was secretly smoking weed in Michigan and taking a week off. Exactly. As Ardevs points out, it's a bad look for, you know, Alliance leaders to go on vacation, even if it's like a pre-planned kind of thing. So I tried to keep my Michigan thing secret because I didn't want people to know that I was going to be slightly away from the Keys when shit went down. But it didn't matter because you guys proceeded to blow up a bunch of fucking Keepstars, so I'll take it. So I then was like, hey guys, the reason I'm not here fighting is because I'm in Michigan and we're going to try to keep it secret, but there it is. Anyway. So. We are going to talk about something that you know that I don't normally talk about, but it's something I've seen some questions about, and so I want to address it, which is PvE. Brace yourselves. Brace yourselves. Here we go. I'm only going to do this for a little bit. Because as you guys know, I can't really talk about this shit without my brain leaking out my ears. Or after the White Castle out my ass, I don't know. So, real quick, let's do that. So, a lot of goons are super rich, and are doing just fine. Obviously, we're doing just fine because we've been able to recover our war chest after spending trillions of ISK on blowing up hostile Keepstars. Again, like, we are supported by one of the reasons why we can't retreat, we can't give up, we're not evacing, there is no way out but through this war, is because we do have the support of all of these ancient elder goons turning up and donating their time, their assets, their characters, all their things to keep us in the fight. And so as part of that, depending on what era you came from in EVE, like if you are a ret vet from the bad old days, before they installed like the ADM system and things like that, back in the day there could be like a conflict between people doing PvP and PvE in old school Nullsec. And what happened, the game changed to where PvE contributes to our ADMs and it's very important, and you just need to do that. So one of the reasons I'm talking about this is in the midst of all of the bad guys or in Delve stuff, I want you guys to know that particularly for the goons who are not rich as hell, that we do have actually a variety of things that we're going to be introducing this week to show you how you can make sure that you are still making money and you are not poor and starving and unable to fight. Because again, this is a grind strategy, and that means that we have like 2 weeks of set piece battles and now we are very much back to the grind. And that means that we need to make sure that people aren't like flaming out or are broke or feel like they're being abandoned by the organization. So, what we're going to do over this next week is we actually have, I think 4 different options of guides. Some of these things we already have guides that we've written that are getting improved. And we're basically going to be like, here are like 4 things that you can do in order to make money, even during wartime. And one of the fucked up things is that because CCP has like repeatedly nerfed Nullsec income in various ways, is that now some of these things, like we have like a really cool abyssal guide that Saren wrote up for university. There is like some wacky shit involving wormholes and like solo farming and a vagabond and a C3 that like Dodd is writing up from the whole squad days. There's of course burner stuff. And now there's all this wacky like high sec mining orcas thing that I barely understand. Theta has started diving into it and I'm not going to speak knowledgeably about it now. But the point is that we actually have a variety of options that we're going to be introducing like a guide series. Here's how you do this. Here's how you do that, with a support structure such that people can like get their hands held and ask questions and what have you, such that if you are concerned about PvE during wartime, we're aware, and we have some options that we're working on, and we're going to be introducing these things hopefully within the next 7 days. And that's it. That's all I can talk about this right now. Otherwise, my brain's going to melt. Okay. I am currently wearing a red shirt. I was thinking about doing, like last week I was saying I was going to get all black shirt from now on, but after the White Castle incident a little bit ago, I don't think I can really maintain a black shirt kind of thing if I'm periodically going, oh Jesus Christ, what did I do to my guts? All right. Would I explain the red shirt, black shirt thing? And it's just it's a meta show joke, basically. Like, a red shirt is like my default thing that I wear a lot. Blue shirts on the meta show are like being nice and kind. Black shirts are like war, blood, murder, and just trying to be as mean as possible because I'm a douchebag. Alrighty. Here's an interesting question. After the great events of YZ9, I felt that we as the line members should not have to wait on ACT or any other FCs to come up with plans. If we, the line members, have ideas to do stuff, is there something we can talk to, or can we just do them? Well, that's a very dangerous question. Feelings are weird. I don't know why you would have that feeling. Like, we have a strategy, we're executing it. Like, I think that there's a lot of magical thinking going on the side of the bad guys, where they think that because they have an NPC delve keep star, that radically changes their strategy. When I went to Michigan, I thought that the bad guys would put a keep star in NPC delve, and I was not depending upon the crazy schemes that the FCs had come up with. I didn't know whether they would work, and they did work, and then we blew up a bunch of their keep stars. Our overall war plan did not depend upon keeping them out of NPC delve, because, you know, they could put down more keep stars. Eventually they would get one in. We bloodied their noses a bunch, and that was awesome, and that was fantastic. I think one of the reasons why we are now, and I was worried about this, I think we were all a little worried about the idea of, was it worth it to blow up four of their keep stars in a row? It felt really fucking good. Was it worth the price in terms of the ISK that we paid and the commitment and all the effort? And I think now we can say that it was. And the reason I can say that is not because of any sort of random emotional thing, but because you can see now on the field in the last couple of days that they are below that 2-to-1 odds number, right? The fact that they are starting to consistently, and again, maybe they'll hear me herfing about this on the fireside and they'll turn up more to try to prove us wrong or something. But as it stands right now, for days in a row now, after these Keepstar fights, we are fighting at less than 2-to-1 odds. And that is really refreshing. And I think that we would not have gotten to that point were it not for the fact that we just relentlessly fucked them at every opportunity on those Keepstar fights. But in terms of the question you're asking, which is like, you know, the bad guys are in YZ9, and what are we going to do about it? Well, we were sort of planning on them being in NPC Delve eventually and doing this, right? They planned that they were going to invade Delve, and that's where you invade Delve from. So, no, we're not going to authorize people to just randomly go off and do whatever, like follow the normal rules and regulations of how we manage the organization. It's not like, you know, I think that the bad guys generally believe that, like, oh, we've got to keep starting NPC Delve, and now it's over, and now it's like, okay, well, you're now a little bit closer than you were from when you were in AQT. It's harder to defend some of our iHubs when they're based in NPC Delve. If I was invading Delve, I would have dropped 5 keep stars at once in NPC Delve on day one and started helicopter dicking. But they dicked around for 3 months, so here we are. Alrighty, let me take some questions here. Questions about numbers declining and stuff like that. How are Imperium numbers? We're doing fine. Like, the fact that we're at like 1.8-to-1, after sounding the horn of Gundor, like, our numbers have in some cases either been steady or even gone up a little. Proportionally speaking, we're doing great. Like, goons are holding, especially the dudes who are used to Hell War are used to, like, the guys that, like, resubbed from battle days are extremely aware of how bad this game can get in terms of, like, fuckery, in terms of CCD bullshit, in terms of the grind, at a level that the summer children aren't really used to. So I think that we are in a much better position to be able to adopt a grind strategy. That is why, since the beginning of this, when Vili has been telling people that, you know, oh, why is the Mitanni saying that defensive war is the timeline is better for the defender? Well, the reason why the timeline is better for the defender is, as you can see on the field, the defender is more committed to the defense, at least if they're like us. If they're like puppies, maybe they would have run for the hills by now. But in our case, our dudes stand and fight every single fucking day because we're here to fuck. And the bad guys are not so much. So that's why we are seeing this participation grind strategy begin to bear fruit. is it a good time to be an FC to learn how to do it? Yeah, absolutely. Like, join Skirmish Command, and there's more, like, there are tons of opportunities for Drama Fleets and Cormorant Fleets and shit like that. As you guys can see, we have ops going every single fucking day. And one of the nice things about this is, like, if you crash a Drama Fleet or you crash a Sniping Cormorant into a tree, nobody cares, right? The, you know, you basically, you can't lose the Isk War. You can't fuck up too badly. There's never been a better time to learn how to FC. There's ops constantly. So yeah, please, absolutely. We want to encourage people to get involved with Skirmish Command, get stuck in and see if they have what it takes. FCing is one of those things where, I guess there's a lot of things in life that are this way, where you have to just kind of start, right? You got to jump into the deep end of the pool and get stuck in. And until you do that, it'll be hard for you to tell whether it's really right for you or not. So I encourage more people to give it a try. Yeah, like, don't spend 3 months, like, reading forum posts and doing this and doing that. Like, at a certain point, you've got to get in, you got to make mistakes, you got to get a bloody nose, you got to get kicked in the dick, you got to do the necessary thing. You learn a lot more from failure than you do from success in general. And so, getting stuck in, crashing a Drama Fleet into a tree, that is really the fastest way that you're going to find out whether you have what it takes, whether it's right for you. So basically, when it comes to that, shit or get off the pot. White Castle will help. Is it helpful to attack the enemy in their space? We have been pretty consistently messing with Esoteria. The bad guys keep having to go back over to Esoteria to defend. Pappy in general does not like to defend Test. Test is next. They are right next door to us. They are pretty much the weakest member of the Pappy coalition overall. So yeah, those questions about, like, can we attack in another direction? We have been. Bastion has been doing just an amazing fucking job in general for weeks now, making Test bleed and jump clone home in Esoteria. So all of you talking about opening second fronts and things like that, we agree with you. We think that that is an absolutely awesome thing to do and way to go. And that is why we have been going after the bad guys in their backfields for some time now. All right. So let me see if there's something else I want to answer here. I need to make sure that I leave a little bit more time before the meta show this week instead of running my mouth to the very end, because I need to make sure that there's no more White Castle in my system. I don't think that's a problem, though. It's the first time I've had to interrupt an Illume meeting to go take an explosive shit, and now you all have to hear about it. All right. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for coming on. Thank you all for not being what the pubbies think that you are. They thought that the war is over. They thought that you would all run for the fucking hills. And it is goddamn inspiring to see more than 1,100 of you in a Fireside Chat channel and still being here. We need to turn up and fight every day. And the way that you win a defensive war is you turn up and you fight every day for 1 day longer than the bads. That's all it takes. You fight hard, you keep fighting for 1 day longer than the bad guys do, and then you win. Thank you for coming. See you on the field. Let's do this.